Finding life a bit complex? Confusing? Aware that your old strategies aren't working? Why not ask Pam and Marilyn? This is the Irreverent Therapists. And we're here to add some clarity, humor, and a bit of what might be considered blasphemy to your day.
Year and welcome to the Irreverent Therapist, the first show of 2016.
Woo-hoo! Yippee!
And of course, I am joined by my partner in crime and great friend, Pam Holdling. Hi, Pam.
Hello, Marilyn, and hello, everybody.
Yep. So, like I said, first show after New Year's, and how many people are in slumps, dumps, and facing humps? That's the title of our show today. How to avoid the post-holiday blues. So I'll just read our little blurb. The cheer, the lights, the presents, and the gatherings are over. What's left? For many people, it's a kind of a black hole, a wishing for the fantasies that the holidays foster. The goodness of men, and of course women. The closeness of family, and the idea that all is well and will be well. What's possible for you as you move forward? What if you could choose not to join the majority in their downer? What if you could actually move into a greater, more expansive you? Join the Irreverent Therapist for tips and tools to avoid the post-holiday blues.
Just such an appropriate topic for today.
I think so. You know, when we were chatting earlier, Pam, you were saying something about your kids. And that's not where we usually start, but it might be a great place to start because it's not just adults who experience this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, because, like, you know, we had all this fun and some challenging stuff, too, as well, over Christmas and New Year's. And, you know, but, like, every now and then my daughter will just – she, like, comes in and she has this look on her face like the whole world's ending. And she's like, Mom, help. And she doesn't – she doesn't usually ask me for facilitation, but she has – many times in the last week. And, you know, and I'll say something like, you know, so how many people in the world, you know, in the country right now or living near us are feeling all depressed after the holidays are over, or they're feeling like they spent too much money and they're worrying about getting back to work? And, you know, as soon as I bring up that idea that she might just be aware of a whole lot of other people's stuff,
yeah,
it all goes away. And then she, you know, and then she's like, good to go. And she's smiling and laughing again.
Well, and right within that is contained one of the most awesome Access Consciousness tools. Take it away, Pam.
Who does this belong to? In fact, I think everybody listening, so get a big piece of paper or a giant post-it and write, who does this belong to? And, you know, put it where you can see it all the time. And I'm actually not joking about that. When I was first introduced to the tool, Who Does This Belong To?, someone taught me that and the Access Clearing Statement. And I wrote them on a piece of paper and stuck them in my pocket. And every time I started to feel anything that wasn't expansive, light, and joyful, I pulled those out and started using them. And it really, really worked. So
it's a good one. And the thing is, I mean, the basic premise behind it, and I know we've talked about this tool before, but particularly in a time like this, you can't talk about it too much, is that we're all psychic. Not so much crystal ball, tea leaves, astrology, anything like that. But we just will pick up the thoughts, feelings, and emotions, the energy, because they're all energetic, around us. And then what we do, like maybe you're really pretty happy and you go out to the post office and you're standing in line and everybody's like this, and all of a sudden you start to feel really down. But instead of going, gosh, who does this belong to? And you don't need to pin it on a specific person. It can just be, oh,
right.
Not mine.
Not looking for the answer of,
yeah.
Oh, it's my Aunt Mary's.
It's just a lightness. If it lightens up when you ask that, you know it's not yours. But what we tend to do is if we start, quote, having that feeling of down, then we look for something to pin it on. Oh, I'm down because I just heard that Aunt Jane went to the hospital. Or I'm down because my son had a bad day at school. And once you do that, you've bought it hook, line, and sinker, and you will have more of it.
You know, I want to jump in here because one of my first access facilitator that I went to for classes, he talked about who does this belong to this way. He said, you know, one time he was, you know, staying over, he and some friends were staying over at another friend's house. And so there was, you know, a few people like, you know, sleeping around in the living room and everything. And he woke up and he was just feeling so anxious and worried about his money. Like he's worrying about his bank balance and like, you know, all this stuff, right? But he knew access tools. And so eventually he asked himself, well, who does this belong to? And the awareness he had was one of the people who was there for 3 days had talked about nothing but money things, right? But, you know, but my facilitator, he said it was my bank account. It was my – the details of my life were stewing around in my head. But the energy – was what I was picking up on from this other guy. So it's like you're aware of this energy. You're aware of you're just aware.
You can stop right there.
Yeah. Right, but you then take it and you attach what's going on in your life to that energy.
Yes.
So you know. So and that's where sometimes people go like, wait, but you know, but I am. But I am having a struggle in my relationship. And so, of course, I'm worrying about it. But if you ask, well, who does this belong to? It might be that that anxiety worry piece is something you're picking up on. And you just have awareness of things about your relationship, which is a totally different thing.
Yeah. So don't take – the bottom line here is don't take at face value what seems to be going on. And, you know, that's one thing I have just so learned from doing access and using all the tools. Very often, things are not as they appear to be. And this can be – this is a very good example of why. Because you're picking up somebody else's thoughts, feelings, or emotions, or difficulties, or obsessions – and you're applying them to your life.
So. Well, and the thing that like the implication that comes from this is if you are aware of all this stuff, you know, and sometimes, you know, Marilyn, you've heard this, you know, people be like, wait, I'm not that aware. So, you know, have you ever been in a great mood and you walked into your office and you could just feel the stress and the anger or the whatever going on that day, and you want to like turn around and walk right on out. You don't know what's going on. Nobody's told you anything yet, but you know. Or, you know, if you're a parent, have you ever, you know, been asleep in bed and suddenly you just know you need to get up and go check on your baby?
Yeah.
And there's nothing, you know, they're not crying or anything, but you know. It's like we have these awarenesses. You know, but it's like so – we're picking up on all these things. You could be spending money going to therapy or a lot of time trying all kinds of self-help things to address your anxiety, your worry, your depression when it's not even yours.
That, you know what? This is a game. Maybe we should stop talking about this. You know, Pam, this is a therapist's dream. Someone coming to us and paying us for months and years because they're trying to process something that isn't even theirs, which means you can never clear it. So it's kind of like guaranteed income.
That's true. Okay, forget everything I just said. Go home. Keep buying. Everything is yours. And
come, give us a call.
We'll therapist in business.
We'll give you a 52-week discount.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I love about being an access facilitator and using access tools is if I'm doing my job well, you maybe need one or two sessions with
me. Yes, exactly. It's amazing how much faster and everything else it works. It is truly an amazing thing. Yeah, and I had an idea, but it sort of left the station without me. So,
Well, we were talking about who does this belong to, and you know, so just to be really clear, all it is using this tool is asking the question, who does this belong to? You don't have to know whose it was. You're not trying to discover whose it was. It's not by asking the question. If you feel lighter, you know that at least part of whatever it is that's going on isn't yours.
Right.
And you know, one of the exercises that we do ourselves and that we give to other people is for every thought, feeling, and emotion you have for 3 days, ask who does this belong to?
You will be bonky, blanked out by the end. You'll be a walking cosmic being.
Yep.
So find out that none of it's yours.
And, you know, it's the kind of thing like, you know, you'll be going along asking, well, who does this belong to? And who does this belong to? And then you realize you haven't done it for 3 hours and you might want to like go into judgment of you and how bad you are and you can't do this right and all that. And then you go, oh, who does that belong to?
Whose wrongness and judgment of self are you picking up on?
Yeah. No, so it just, you know, it's like it doesn't matter if you forget about it for a while. As soon as you think of it, just keep asking.
Yeah. It's one of the most, I would say, rewarding things that you can do because it will give you a perspective you've never had before. It's truly awesome. So go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, say you're going into a situation like, you know, my kid's going off to school Monday, first day back after the vacation. I was like, what if you be that space of who does this belong to all day long?
Cool.
You know, because there you are, you know, in school with all these kids and, you know, everybody's points of view and everything. So, you know, it's a tool. I whip it out and use it like just so many times a day, a week, all the time.
It's awesome. And we are going to break. And when we get back, we'll talk more about the slumps, dumps, and humps and how to avoid the post-holiday blues.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment, a philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting with your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and tap into that innate potential you have to transform your life and fly high. Please join me, your host Monica Goyal, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Namaste.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Marilyn Bradford, and I'm joined by Pam Hodling, and we are talking about slumps, humps, and dumps, how to avoid the post-holiday blues. And another thing occurred to me while we were going on break, Pam, which is it's not exactly a tool. It's more of information. But a lot of people don't have this, or even if they've heard of it, they think there's something wrong with it. And the information is that you can actually choose to be happy. You, in the face of even, quote, feeling depressed, in the next 10 seconds, you have a choice to be happy. I used to think this was the most insane thing I'd ever heard. Because, and you know, all that told me was that I was being run by my feelings, which was also, I didn't really realize how insane that was, but that was pretty insane. So I actually took this class called Happiness is Just a Choice. And I realized that I actually could choose to be happy because we create or buy from other people these, quote, feelings. We're not the effect of them. And, you know, sometimes you might have to start out by, okay, remembering a time when you were happy and just getting the energy of it. And realizing, oh, it wasn't just the right birthday present that made me happy. I was choosing to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can choose that now. Yeah.
It's so funny because that reminds me when I was just out of college, I got a job as a bank teller. And so when I was being trained as a bank teller, I was enjoying that. And then they put me in this branch that was like super busy, super stressful, all this stuff, right? And I was going in there, I was all anxious and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I watched Mary Poppins.
I love it.
And I went in the next day and I was like, I'm just going to choose to be, you know, I mean, I didn't have the words for it then, yeah. But it was basically, I'm going to choose to be my own space and not be the effect of this place at all.
Oh, that is
and
so cool.
And I just had the best day. Like when all these grouchy, grumpy people were in a hurry, came up and were giving me a hard time. I was just smiling. I was just like, hey there. And it was just so clear to me it was a choice.
Yeah.
Because and this actually, you know, leads me into the whole point of view thing, which I wanted to bring up because it was like, if I have the point of view of working in this place is very stressful and there's no way I can not be affected by it, guess what? That's what I'm going to create.
You mean your point of view creates your reality?
Exactly. Your point of view creates your reality. When I was willing to have a point of view of I can be whatever space I choose to be, even in this environment, that's what I created.
That's awesome. Yeah. And wow, I certainly wasn't there before I got the access tool, so I'm totally impressed. well, and another thing that I
was all flattered one day, unfortunately.
Oh. You just had to watch Mary Poppins every night.
Usual choosing unhappiness.
Right. Unhappiness is just a choice. There we go.
Yeah.
That would be a big class. So one of the things that, you know, comes up with this choice thing is that a lot of people are actually resistant to the idea that they could choose to be happy. And, you know, as a therapist for like a gut, since Noah, I think, sometimes I
a gazillion years.
I found that with people are – for two reasons are they resistant, at least two. One of them is they've made their identity out of trauma, drama, having problems, and intense feelings.
Yeah.
And it's like if they could just be happy, well, who would they be? So it's like it's just such a stretch for people to actually go into that. And another thing is that then how would people relate to them? It's like, you know, people tell me I'm unfeeling or my dad, you know, passed away, maybe even after a long illness, but I chose to be happy and people told me I was uncaring. It's like these intense emotions, negative emotions, are a lot in this reality about how we prove that we care. and that we show others that we're really sensitive, amazing beings. And, you know, gosh, I'm so glad I'm over that one.
I know. Well, you know what, when you were talking about how, you know, we tend to define ourselves by the traumas and the dramas and the struggles I'm overcoming. And, you know, I can remember, like my primary group of friends for a long time were moms with little kids. I was a mom with a little kid, and we'd all get together and we'd share our stories. Like, oh, I didn't get any sleep last night because of blah, 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 you know? And, I mean, and this was even before I got introduced to Access, but when I started choosing to actually create my life, it was like I was no longer at the effect of everything going on around me. So I wasn't sitting there like complaining about this and complaining about that. And it was like, I felt like I had nothing to relate to them or talk to them about.
You became an outsider, that happy person.
I became an outsider. And then, you know, when I added in the Access tools, then it was, you know, just exponentialized where I don't have a problem to talk about. and sometimes I actually make one up because I'd be in a work environment and I'd be like, oh, I gotta come up with something to talk about here. So, you know, I would take something that wasn't a problem for me and talk about it as though it was, because that's what people could relate to. So it's like, you know, so on the one hand, there's getting all caught up in all the drama and the drama and the everything that everyone else is doing. When you start choosing happiness and choose not to do that anymore, then it's like, you know, who are all these people? What do I have to say? You can get very quiet. But it's that willingness to be so different. Because, you know, if you think about it, think about your friends, your family, the people you're around all the time. How many of those people are truly happy and enjoying themselves and expansive and creating and excited about everything they're doing? You know, for most of us, most of the people we know are not functioning from that space. So when you start choosing that, it makes you very different. And it's that willingness. You have to be willing to be different. Because believe me, if you start choosing to use these tools and choose happiness, you will be very different than the people around you.
And I know that is scary for a lot of people. That's another reason I think that, you know, people tend to want to go with what everyone else is doing. Well, it's normal to be upset after the holidays, you know, and oh, that makes me fit. I can belong by being upset. How does it get any better than that? Yeah. So that's just kind of crazy and insane. But while we're on the subject of choice, as I said, it's not exactly a tool, but what if you had far more choice in the direction of your life and in the creation of your life than you ever imagined you had? You know, what if you could choose whether or not you were choosing happiness? What if you could choose to not be in the slumps, dumps, and humps, whatever came up for you? I mean, one of the things that comes up for a lot of people after the holidays is a kind of disappointment. Well, my family, it was the same old thing. You know, Uncle John got drunk and Mary and Susie had a fight and the kids were screaming and we found out Joe's doing heroin and, you know. So there's this enormous amount of disappointment based, and I'm going to introduce another concept here, which is just this access concept that blew me away. And there's a book called The Utopian Ideals. And it's all of these things like the holidays, you know, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever it is for you, they're supposed to be wonderful and warm. You know, as I was talking about the fantasies, everything works well and everybody's happy. And so
everyone gets along and we finally get to have the family we've always wanted.
Right. Like not, never happens. So people judge themselves very, very harshly for that, as if it's their fault or as if their lot in life is just terrible compared to other people. So one of the things that you can do is just Interesting point of view. Another tool that we use. Oh, it's amazing how the access tools just slide into this post-holiday blues thing. But even interesting point of view, I'd be disappointed in my family. So if I weren't being, and here we go, if I weren't being disappointed in my family, what would I be aware of? Oh, they're never going to change. Okay, never mind. You know, so you can choose to ask questions. You can choose to use interesting point of view for any reaction you've had to anything that went on in your family or anywhere else. Maybe it was the office Christmas party or the fact that you were alone through the whole thing and were doing a major case of pathetic rather than just enjoying the fact, oh my gosh, all those other people have to be with those horrible families.
Ah! I get to be on my own.
Yay! I get to be on my own.
But, well, you know, because so much of what you're talking about, all the utopian ideals, it's, you know, all of that is points of view. It's if I have the point of view that there is a way my family should be, then I can be judging how we're not living up to that and feeling wrong and down in the dumps. You know, if I don't have a point of view about my family and how they should show up and who they should be, then it's just cool. What's going on this year? What's it like? You know, how's everybody showing up and what are they choosing? And what do I choose to do with that? All the pre-programmed baggage kind of goes away when you're being that space of interesting point of view and no judgment and who does this belong to?
Right, exactly. And we're almost at our next break, but I did want to say, and this is a little, doesn't really work with our topic, but I'm saying it anyway. Next year, if you can actually be honest and aware with yourself before the holidays of what's actually going on versus what you're expecting, you can save yourself an awful lot of pain, suffering, and gory. So I highly recommend that next year you suss it out. Well, maybe we should do a show on that. Anyway, we're going to break, and we will be right back. Oh, I forgot to mention, I'll do that later. Oops.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yolito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I've tried.
Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to The Irreverent Therapist, and we're talking about the slumps, dumps, and humps, how to avoid the post-holiday blues. And before I forget, you can post any questions that you have. We have a Facebook page, TheIrreverentTherapist.com. We'd love to have your questions or comments or even ideas for other shows. So just go to TheIrreverentTherapist.com, and Pam is monitoring that. So if you do have a question, she'll be happy to send it on, and we can talk about that.
And go to our Facebook page, too.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Just search for The Irreverent Therapist on Facebook, and you'll find us, and you can comment there and post questions there as well.
Hey, we got a lot going on, don't we? I'm impressed.
We do. We have it all going on.
We got it all going on. I like it.
Something you said right at the end, and I was like, I'm going to remember and bring something up, and it's totally gone.
I can't even remember what I was talking about right at the end.
It was brilliant.
Oh, it was about preparing for next year, or?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, write it on your calendar now, like, you know, October. Put a big, who does this belong to? And, you know, destroy and uncreate my expectations about my family. Just to remind you, as you enter into the whole holiday thing, you don't have to go down that rabbit hole anymore.
I like it. I like it a lot. One of the things that I was thinking about during the break was the whole business of how we make things special and significant. Because I stopped making the holidays significant a while ago. Now, I have to be honest here and say that one of the first things I did actually was to sort of, instead of make, how can I say this? I sort of went the other direction. Oh, it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. And, you know, but
which
what I was
sort
actually,
of be resistance and reaction.
I was going into resistance and reaction. Absolutely. And that actually didn't help either, because I realized, I remember sort of doing nothing. And then it was like Christmas Eve and I had no decorations. And it was like, you know what? It would have been fun to have some decorations. So this year I did some decorations without making it significant. And that's the key. You can do anything without making it significant. It's the significance that actually hooks you up.
Hey, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Can I, before you go into significance more, which I think is very important and significant that we do that, I just wanted to jump in on what you were saying about kind of going the other direction on Christmas, like, and the resistance and reaction, because, you know, this year I did a little of both, right? So as the holiday time in December started, and I was like, you know, looking at Christmas presents and what I was going to get people and stuff, I was like, you know, if we could just like do away with the whole present thing,
like,
you know, looking at the things that were, that I was having the point of view, I have to do this because everybody's expecting it. There's no question there, right? That's just what we've been talking about, of having a point of view and then going based on that. So then I reacted to that point of view by going, well, if I could just scrap all this, I would. And then, you know, being an access facilitator and someone who knows and uses these tools, I started actually using the tools. And where I was able to end up being was a space of truly enjoying all aspects of what was going on, because I wasn't resisting it and reacting to it, but I was also choosing what works for me.
Oh,
so
that's
I put
cool.
the tree up, but I didn't decorate it. Like, I didn't get out all the work.
Well, we have a tree. What are you complaining about?
I don't know. It's a tree with lights and stuff. But, you know, and I also, because I have kids, I was talking to them about, you know, what do you, what is it about Christmas that you enjoy and you want to make sure we do include? Because here's where I am this year. And so, you know, and things like I put some candles out and I ended up really just enjoying my candles. And I don't know, but there's all these little ways in which what I did choose, I enjoyed, because I wasn't coming from that reaction place of, I'm going to scrap the whole thing. Why do I have to do this?
Oh, that's awesome, Pam. That's so good for people to get that, because that's what we tend to do. We go to one, oh, it's really important. Oh, it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
One extreme or the other.
One extreme or the other.
And those extremes are both limitation.
Yes.
And when you're willing to just be present in the moment, asking questions, choosing in 10-second increments, you know, that's the space from which you can create whatever it is. In this case, we're talking about Christmas, you know, as what you would like it to be.
Yeah.
As something that works for you.
Yeah. And actually, I have a very elderly mother that I go visit at Christmas time. And the last year, and we sort of carried it out this year, but it was also about asking questions. We just said, you know what? We don't need to do presents. Because there's nothing she needs. She's in her late 90s in the nursing home, you know, and she can't even do a lot of the things she used to do. And there's really nothing I need. So it was just, hey, let's just be together and have fun. This year, she wanted to get out. She hadn't been able to get out much. So we used presents kind of as an excuse. Well, let's go buy you some new clothes, Mom. Okay. And we had a good outing. And then she's like, I want to buy you something. So literally, Pam, I had to rack my brain to think of something. But I actually needed some new, warm type slippers, because New Mexico, you know, we're snowing outside right now. And I needed some new gloves. Mine were kind of funky looking. So we went to Macy's and Nordstrom's and got gloves and slippers. But it was using it in a way that was going to create more. So the emphasis was on, what is this going to create? What's required now? And almost using the Christmas as not an excuse, but as a way to put context to it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I love it that you're talking about creating, because I think so often what we do at the holidays is we go into autopilot. This is the way we've always done it.
Yes.
This is our tradition. This is what, you know, our family does X, Y, Z. And there's no creation in that.
No, none at all.
What you were just talking about of being willing to say, hey, you know, what would we like to do with this year that really is going to work for me and work for my mother? You know, from that, you guys created some really nice times together that were part of the holiday celebrations without having to fit into the way it's always been.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that we did, I mean, it was like also looking, because I asked Mom, what do you want? You know, what do you want to do? I want to go out for Christmas Eve. So I was like, okay, because we used to go to this kind of candlelight church service kind of thing. I'm like, Christmas Eve, what would be fun for me? And I'm like, Four Seasons. And it's particularly nice. Well, what happened? I mean, it read energetically. It wasn't, oh, I have to go to a really expensive place. It was like, oh, that's really light. So we get there. This is in Texas. It was so warm, we could sit out on the patio. And my mother had the best time, because it's on the lake and these green sort of – the hill goes down and there are all these trees. And the little kids were there in their holiday costumes frolicking about. And it was very beautiful. And we both had – you know, that was one of the best times that we had over the holidays. So and that's something we've never done before. So once again, it's always about asking questions, you know, like what would create more in this situation?
Well, and, you know, getting back to it, because I derailed you from talking about significance.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when you're making it very significant that the holiday be a certain way and we have to do this and we have to do that because we always have, or whatever, you know, this is my last Christmas with my mom, perhaps, maybe that makes it really significant. So we got to make sure it's good. You know, if you'd been doing something like that, you guys wouldn't have had nearly so nice a time.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. One of the things that really made it work was being in the moment with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, the thing about making stuff significant is it doesn't allow you to ask a question. And the question is what really puts you in touch with what's going to actually create more in this 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you know what this makes me think of is, you know, sometimes like, okay, so we're talking about all these tools. These tools are absolutely amazing. But you can get caught up in using them to try to create the outcome you've decided is the right outcome.
Right.
So. Okay, so next year I'm going to use all these tools, and that's going to ensure that I have a nice, happy, easy Christmas and my family's wonderful.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, having, you know, we call that being vested in the outcome. You know, if I've decided this is the desirable outcome and this is what I'm using these tools for, then you're already kind of going down the rabbit hole. Part of having, being that space of interesting point of view is just being willing to be aware of, you know, I have no idea what's going to show up with this, but I'm willing to keep asking the questions because I know it'll create something different.
Yeah.
From that space, that's where the magic does occur.
Yes, absolutely. Because then you're sort of, yeah, you're following the energy is a weird term. I don't exactly like that. But you're allowing yourself to be aware of what each choice is going to create.
Yeah.
You know,
like right now, as we speak, my daughter's dad is like texting me little messages. You know, she's someone with like this really thick, unruly hair that's gotten like so matted and tangled. And, you know, it's like this huge thing. She's getting it all cut off right now.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And, you know, and she was saying like, she and I were talking about it. What she's aware of is this choice to make this change is creating all kinds of wonderful, expansive energy for her.
Cool.
And then she'll go to, well, what if it looks real bad? And, you know, so I was talking to her about it, basically destroying all her expectations of what this is. If she just looks at the energy of what this choice is creating, her whole universe lights up.
Cool.
And from that space, you know, say her hair looks for a few weeks really bizarre because it's so short or, you know, whatever. It's like, that's irrelevant. She doesn't care.
Yeah. And we'll be back with more of the Irreverent Therapist Slumps, Dumps, and Humps, how to avoid the post-holiday blues.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Are you ready to shift your energy, consciousness, and limiting beliefs? Join me, Shefali Burns, every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Shifting with Shefali here on Om Times Radio. Shift the blocks, limitations, and negative energies that have kept you from experiencing a life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Are you ready to shift with Shefali? Are you ready to shine your brilliance?
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
welcome back, everyone, to The Irreverent Therapist with Marilyn Bradford and Pam Hodling in the last segment of our Slumps, Dumps, and Humps, How to Avoid the Post-Holiday Blues. And I'd like you to, when we went to break, Pam, you were talking about your daughter, and this is a big deal because this girl had massive and beautiful hair, but also hair that's really difficult to manage. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it is that she was willing to take a chance on something that she, and that is huge.
Yes. Like she has, you know, because basically if you imagine like this amazing kinky curly hair that right in by her head, it's not matted, but everything else is. It's like, I don't know if they're going to have to like totally shave her head, if she's going to have like, you know, quarter inch hair, or if they're going to actually be able to do some kind of hairstyle, right? So, you know, she could be going into her seventh grade school tomorrow with a really bizarre haircut. And that's where she goes sometimes into that, ooh, what if it goes that way? But then from the asking questions and looking at the energy of things, she's able to go, oh, that actually doesn't matter. Because this choice to change this thing that I've so been wanting to change, it's empowering. It's like her whole being steps up and steps out and goes, yes, here I am. And I'm creating my life the way I would like it to be. Yeah. She's felt the effect of her hair, like she's at the mercy of it and she can't do it right, you know, like just all this stuff. And she's basically saying, no more. I'm not going to be the effect of this. I'm going to create it the way I would like it to be.
Yeah. One of the things that, whether it's getting out of the holiday slumps and dumps and humps or anything, it does take this element of courage and this willingness to try something new, to not know what the outcome's going to be, but to just, well, if I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? Oh, that's pretty light.
Yeah. You know,
and that and willingness I'd say, to be different.
And I'd say not only to not know what the outcome's going to be, but that if you're trying to figure out the outcome, like you're already like going down the point of view hole. You know, being willing to be that space of the unknown. I have no idea what this choice is going to create, but I'm aware that choosing is creating.
Oh, would you say more on that, Pam? Choosing is creating?
I would. So, yes. Well, and having had a history as quite the perfectionist, this was a really big thing. I think I'd been at Access for about 4 years and, you know, probably done the level 2 and 3 class maybe 8 times, you know, this thing that I'd heard again and again and again and again is, you know, it's like there's no wrong choice. Choice creates. And I realized I was like, oh, I was still trying to use these tools to get the right choice so that I would make my life work.
And so
the awareness was, no, every time you choose, and that's why we talk about choosing 10-second increments. It's like every time you choose, you are creating something different.
Yeah.
And that awareness that your choice creates, it's like then I don't know, you're in the driver's seat. It's like you can look at what's not working in your life, like, wow, I'm feeling all depressed and slumped after the holidays. In that moment where you acknowledge that and go, wow, that's what I've been choosing. I can choose different.
Yes.
In this 10 seconds, I'm choosing different. I don't know what it looks like. I don't even know how to do it, but I'm choosing it. And that energy changes everything.
Yeah, that's really awesome. That energy changes everything. Something else I wanted to say about choice creates. Oh, I think one of the other, you know, we were talking earlier about the significance and all that. I think one of the things that makes the holidays so difficult for people and actually creates or adds to the slumps, dumps, and humps is that everything is so solidified and locked down. There's little,
oh, yeah.
There's little, there's even less choice for people in their lives generally at the holidays than in any other time without getting the wrath of various family members or this or that. You know, right. It's like, oh, it's like automaton. First we do this and then we do that. And we're all supposed to be really happy. And we always have this drink on New Year's Eve and or Christmas Eve. And then we always do this. And, you know, it's not fun. I mean, it's like everyone on New Year's Eve who goes out and gets drunk because they're supposed to get drunk on New Year's Eve. How boring is that?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I mean, I'm so glad you brought it up because I had not actually thought of it that way. But when you have some, like this is a whole time of year, at least in the United States, it's a whole time of year that has so much hoopla, and you go in the stores and it's everywhere, and there is so little choice in it.
Yeah, there's so little
choice. But that's a lie, right? It's like it appears to be that you don't have choice, and I think you're totally right that that's part of it contributes to people going into such slumps. But the truth is you always have choice.
Right.
You know, you have the choice to buy into that point of view of you're supposed to show up at your, you know, grandparents' house, even though your grandparents physically abused you when you were growing up. It's
like, all kinds of fun things.
All kinds of fun stuff that, you know, but it's when you're willing to do, you know, really bring in and use these tools. We're talking about who does this belong to? Interesting point of view. You know, if I weren't having this point of view, what would I be aware of? Asking questions. It's like you can dismantle is the word that's coming into my mind. You can dismantle all the crap and just see what is. Does it work for me to go to my grandparents' house this year?
Yeah.
Ah, no, I think I'd rather go, you know, have my own vacation on my own.
I think I'd rather die and go to hell.
But it's like when you're willing to start choosing, you also start having more and more choice.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're not so tied into the system, the structure.
Yeah.
It's like you're inside this stockade and one day you notice that a post is wiggling and you're like, oh my gosh, maybe I could wiggle out of that post. I'll just step outside 3 inches because what would everybody think if I got out of the stockade? And then you wiggle this post and you get out of the stockade and all of a sudden there's this huge country in front of you and you can do all kinds of things. But it often takes that first step of choosing and of going against the grain and going against the structure. It doesn't have to be that way, but because it often does turn out that way, particularly around the holidays, you know.
Well, and I just want to highlight when Marilyn's saying, you know, go against the grain, go against the structure, she's not talking about that reaction thing.
Yes.
Like, oh, I hate this structure and I'm not going to buy this. It's when you actually are willing to choose and ask questions and be that space, that is going against every structure there is in the world.
Yes.
Because it's not how most people function.
Well, and another thing that I'd like to mention, and this is, you know, we are the irreverent therapists after all. And that is that a lot of people, and I try to dissuade my clients from this, but sometimes I'm more successful than others. There's an idea in this reality that everything has to take a long time to process. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's why you need all those years of therapy.
That's why
it takes so long to process everything.
And it's not even your thought, feeling, and emotion, but we won't even go back to that one. You've got to examine every little piece of poo related to this thing. And this one, how did you feel before that? And, you know, how were you treated? And, you know, oh, my gosh, I just almost get a headache thinking about it.
How significant it was because you had suffered so.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, exactly.
Oh, hey, can I just jump in and make a plug for bars here?
Make a plug for bars.
Yes, because, you know, like what Marilyn's talking about, there's an energy process that we do in Access called Access Bars, and it's, you know, touching someone's head. But basically, it's clearing out all kinds of points of view and things like that. And, you know, that it's another tool that you can use during some time like the holidays to really help you shift and change and come at things from a whole different space.
Yeah, the bars are amazing. You can go on the Access Consciousness website, accessconsciousness.com, and just look up bars. And the new website's going to be launched fairly soon, and they have this incredible whole page section on bars. It's, you know, and the thing about it is, once you do the bars, it's not like you then are joined and you're going to get 97,000 emails or you have to do another class or anything. If you do nothing but learn that one tool that you can use for yourself and others, you will have added something really awesome to your life.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, the...
And it's a great tool for getting out of the slumps, dumps, and humps.
It is. It is. And for not buying it all is so significant.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, there was something you were saying that made me mention bars. Now, of course, now I can't even remember what it was, but still bars, go bars.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the things we, it just sort of to sum up, because we really have less than a minute left. I wasn't watching the clock that well, is that if you'll use these tools and you're willing to be a little different and to choose and ask questions, you don't have to suffer with these kinds of slumps, dumps, and humps. And next week, we're going to have a topic that goes really well with this, which is planning goals and targets. What are you creating for the new year? And it's about getting out of all of your shoulds and oughts and New Year's resolutions that you're then bound to fail at and judge yourself for and, you know, all of those kinds of lovely things. So that's going to be our show next week, and I hope you'll join us for planning goals and targets. What are you creating for the new year? Thank you for joining us, everyone. See you next week.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Bye.
And choose happiness.
Choose happiness. Exactly. Or don't choose happiness, but be very aware that it is a choice.